94JBQ. JBQ, is anyone else on frequency?
JBQ, I'm probably chopping. This is KD4SRR.
Ed Robert, sounded pretty good. Great to hear you tonight. Sorry about what you had to rant about, but it was awfully good to hear from you.
Hear from you, and thanks for your patience. You're way too kind. But MFJ earned their nickname, Mighty Fine Junk. This was their tech support guy, which probably meant some guy was walking by the door and they just grabbed and said, hey, talk on the phone. I don't want to talk to this character.
How about you know that? That is probably what it is. I used to manage in a department that was tech support. And we had people who didn't have a lot of product knowledge, but they had a lot of spunk. They had some gumption. They would walk through a minefield to keep a job. And I'd rather hope that this fellow was that way. He was new. He didn't have a lot of product knowledge. He's going to impress you with that right away. I will let people have as much rope as it takes, you know. If somebody has been there for 10 years and they don't know a thing about what they're selling or supporting or whatever, then we don't see eye to eye. But if they're brand new and they're just picking up everything, there's something to be said for a product like what MFJ offers. It's not terribly sophisticated sometimes. There's been a lot of cutting of what makes other antennas $600 plus, you know. And that will affect the outcome that their customer enjoys. But as far as antennas go, I have never touched one that I could just put there and have a marvelous time with. I have never done that. I put it there and I evaluate, and this is a good thing to do whether it's, your smiles ear to ear or you're terribly disappointed, as I understand you are. You put it in place and you record what you find. You know, what the experience is, because 6 months from now, you're not going to remember all that. And every so often, whenever you go out there near the antenna, take a look and see if anything's changed. And if it has, then run this routine again. See where you can call out who you can talk with and how far away that was. And, you know, stuff like that. Because this thing is outdoors, and over the long term, it's going to experience a lot more wear than tear than you are underneath the roof. And it's just, you know, it's just a man-made thing. It's not a perfect thing. Antennas are a lot of fun, and I got to know a lot about antennas by working with bad ones. And I don't know. I have enjoyed it. And learning about it, I don't know, you know, more than a thimbleful anyhow. But it's kind of a favorite part of the hobby for me. KK4JBQ.
Sorry, I'm probably getting a little noisier here. I'm back home and I got all kind of interference from LED streetlights and what. But anyway, no, this kid, young man, whatever. He didn't want to sell anything because he told me, he said, yeah, it all made in China, and the fiberglass that you had lasted 30 years. Well, this fiberglass, it'll last about 2 years. It ain't no good. So I pretty much said, okay, you're just there 40 hours for a paycheck. So like I said, I said, thanks for, I should have said wasted, but I was at, thanks for taking my time. So that's where it was. Well, listen, I got a dog, got to get out. I got to feed another dog, and I do appreciate you making the call out, and I'm glad I was able to make contact with you. But I'm back down here in the Wild Kingdom, and I got to do some work. So you have a great rest of your evening. This is KD4, SRR, Robert and Joanna. Clear on your final.
Robert, well, I think that's the first time we talked mano a mano, and I truly enjoyed it. Let's do this again. And I hope this antenna, well, you can solve most problems with an antenna. If it's a materials problem, you might have to redo it. But take what you got there as a pattern and just better materials, maybe. They're not going to, you know, be successful at selling something that's all wrong, you know, in design. It could just be a materials problem. Now, I agree, that's their problem, but you can fix it by using better materials and, you know, just copy what they did wrong. I mean, not make right what they did wrong, is what I'm saying. Good to talk with you, Robert, and we'll hope to do it again soon. This is KK4JBQ 73.
KK4JBQ, KI4LZI.
Andy? Ha, good to hear your voice. Sometimes a familiar voice is a comfort. So what's on your mind tonight?
But park me right. Right now I've got what I've got for the shack to all park. Right now, but my power supply seems to be my issue for my noise. And for the past 2 or 3 days, I've been running things here on my backup setup here, which I've got a deep cycle battery here that I've had here for lighting the powers out and all. And just by chance, I hooked this up and unhooked the power supply because I was going to. My fixed station rail is going to have the programming in it updated. And when I hooked this battery up, all the noise went away. And I remember you telling me that it could have been that.
If you have clean power, you will not have a problem. But I've had power problems in the past in other places. I mean, I've lived all over and... So people who are very, very concerned about sound, I'm talking audio quality, whether that's music that they're playing from whatever the source is, if it's from a record or if it's from a tape or if it's from a computer. If it goes through an amplifier, that amplifier, okay. I don't know what. Excuse me for a second here. I'll try to find the button that mutes this. Yeah, that's got it. Okay. Back to an amplifier. If it's got clean power going in, and there's nothing wrong with it, then you won't hear any artifact at all. You won't hear buzzing. You won't hear clicks. You won't hear nothing. But you'll hear just the music you want or whatever the recording is that you want to hear. And I got a demonstration, oh goodness, it must be 30 years ago now, that just set me back. I wanted a place to sit down when this fellow demonstrated. He says, here is what the power coming into this building is like. And he turned on the amplifier and it was... And he says, this amplifier is the most expensive one we have. So it's made well. It's very powerful, but it's already made well. So it's going to amplify, all this junk that's coming across our power line. Now, he says, I got this little box over here, and it's going to clean up the power before the amplifier ever sees its power. And he put that on, and you couldn't tell. He flipped the switch, and that's all you heard, the click of the switch. Nothing. Perfect. And he says, that's what power spikes and you know, junk on the power line is. Now, they were, admittedly, they were in a commercial district. You know, this is a nice big hi-fi store and very popular, and there's all kinds of cars passing by. I don't know if that, but all kinds of other businesses around, too, using a lot of power. So he says, we have to clean up the power that comes in here, because people come in here and they listen to what we have. They don't eat it. They don't look at it as much as they do listen to it. So anyway, that was what I was going on when I mentioned it to you before, that it could be, well, it's somewhere in the line, you know. Power has to come from somewhere, and it goes someplace to do work for you. And somewhere in there, it could pick up the bad stuff. But you were just in a place, you know, right out on the other side of the wall, on the outside of the building, is where your power comes in. So it was, you had suspected it was dirty power, but maybe not. Maybe it was a dirty power supply. Well, good. I'm glad you found it. I'm tickled for you. KK4JBQ.
Well, I've never ever, since I've had this 718, ever had it on a battery. But I needed to update some of the programming in it, because some of our repeaters over here, they changed the tones on them. And in the process of doing that, I went ahead and checked this power supply out. And like I said, I've had it hooked up here for the past, I guess, since Monday, somewhere on Monday or like that, and just had the power supply sitting to the side here, and I can go on receive here on 718 with this battery. I mean, there's a difference. It's day and night from the noise. I bought that power supply new 18 years ago, but obviously it's starting, this switching power supply is starting to create hash, obviously. It would seem. I'm going to have someone look at it, because my electronic knowledge is to a certain degree, but I'm no power supply expert, and have someone else look at it. I got another power supply over here, but it ain't going to be able to put out the kind it won't handle any more than maybe 20 to 25 watts at best. And I've never unhooked this battery since Monday, and I checked voltage a few hours ago. As long as I keep the power down, I'm still good. But when I remember you talking about the power supply here 2 or 3 months ago, and I hooked this battery up, and that said everything for the 718 on HF. Everything.
Well, I'm glad you found it. You know, those little gremlins, I call them. You know, sometimes if something has aggravated you, it's good to think of it like a cartoon. I used to enjoy cartoons when I was a little boy. So sometimes there was this little gremlin person in the cartoon, and he'd go around and he'd make all kinds of trouble for others. And that's kind of what this was. This was all kinds of trouble for you. And so make it into something that you can hate. You know, some little gremlin. But I will say this. I run my station on, well, people would call it emergency power. It is a block of batteries, rechargeable batteries, and it feeds up to, I think, It'll run any radio I have. The 857, which is a 100-watt radio, it'll run that. This Kenwood here is tops out at 50, I believe. It runs this just fine, and it's very clean because it's running on those batteries. I bought this a long time ago, and I hadn't used it. So I'm thinking to myself, oh, gee, I better get that out and charge it because, you know, it has to be, those batteries have to be recharged. And they're going to lose a little bit all the time. I forget what the technical word is for that, but it's leaky. Any battery will lose a little bit just sitting there over time. Because electricity is moving around in there. It has to be. You know, think about it that way. Electricity is always moving, wherever it is. So inside a battery, it's moving. And it's going to cause a little loss over time. So I got it out, plugged it in. Oh, yes, it needed to charge up for a while. And now, just to keep this thing healthy, I use it every night. I have another switching power supply that I can use and probably will. But you need to use things. Another thing. Donna and I both have bicycles. And we haven't been on those bicycles in years. We got an ideal place here to ride. The weather is sometimes agreeable. Sometimes it's not for that kind of thing, but we just haven't been doing that. And I looked at these bicycles, and they're stored in the garage, and they need a good clean up, you know, lubricating, and they need air in the tires and stuff like that. So if we're going to keep them, I just got to take this to her, you know, if we're going to keep them, let's take good care of them. And switching power supplies do not last forever. They will get noisy on you. It's characteristic for them. Your batteries, they'll always be pure electricity. If you can keep it going, the best you'll ever sound. So, anyway, glad you found it. It's about time that it's, you know, stuck its head up so you can see what it was. Isn't it fine for a mystery like that to be solved? KK4JBQ.
Well, see, guys, the bad thing about it is, Robert's talking about MFJ. Do you remember this equipment I was telling you that I was going to get? Well, here I got a bunch of equipment now at least, being everything points to the power supply, I don't really need it, but I'm going to hold on to it since I done put the money into it. And as far as my battery here goes, it's my setup here is more of a temporary type setup. Now come probably be Saturday or Sunday at the latest, I'll have to take all this apart, take this battery and take it out there where my car is, that's where the charger is. For deep cycle batteries and charge it up. That's the only issue, you know, about running it for batteries. It's, here where I'm at, where my gear is, it's not really set up for me to use a deep cycle battery, and the rest of the occupants of the house here wouldn't want me to take and leave it set up here on a permanent setup because I can't charge it here.
Yeah, this is, there's different ways of doing this. If this were me, I think, you know, a decent car battery, if the one that's in your vehicle has a little age on it, that would be perfect. Because what you're going to do with the battery is you're going to feed it energy and then use it. And feed it again and then use it. And it'll last a long time that way. If you run it I've ruined a lot of car batteries. It's because I, well, anyway. If you go a long time without driving the car, and the battery just sits there. As I said, a battery, there's what's called a parasitic drain on a battery. Whatever little item in the car, you know, and the cars are very complicated today. It didn't used to be this way, but it is surely this way today. But let's just take one item that practically every car has, and that's a clock. And the clock, in order to keep time, you don't wind them up, you know. They use a little bit of electricity. They just sip a little bit of electricity. And even when the car is off and it's not, you know, the alternator, whatever's creating energy for the battery, that's not running. So the battery's giving up a little bit all the time to that clock and other parasitic drains, they're called, when the car is off and you're not running it. There are these drains, and so I've ruined a couple batteries that way, and that's not good. This will happen to people who have more than one vehicle, or maybe they don't use one of those vehicles very often. But what you hope to do is your battery is going to be exercised. It's going to be fully charged, and you can do that with a... they make things, I don't know, $30 or $40. You can get them at, I don't know where you can get them today, but the automotive stores, wherever you buy, you know, your windshield washer fluid, you know, wherever you buy that, we'll have something in the way of... Something in the way of a battery conditioner or a battery charger. And that's something you can leave on the battery, and it knows when it's charged, so it stops feeding it. The conditioners do. The charger is something that'll just, you have to pay attention and charge it up until when it's full and then take it off, because it'll just keep trying to put energy into it. And that's not healthy. The battery won't get fat, it'll just get hot if it's being fed energy when it's already fully charged. Anyway, you can come by a way to use a regular car battery. Don't need it to be deep cycled. Not now, if you were running a 24-hour round-the-clock type of thing, yeah, a deep cycle battery would be a good idea, because you're going to pull a lot of energy out over a short period of time. Anyhow, yeah, be a good thing to look into. But I'm just tickled. that your aggravation has gone away. KK4JBQ.
Well, see, like I told you, I had this battery pretty much for what I'm using it for. It ain't just a standard battery. This is a deep cycle battery that I'm using. Here, I have a deep cycle battery just for this. It's just that under the way things is, I have to unhook all this. I checked the voltage on it here a few hours ago. It's still good. Of course, I ain't done a whole lot of transmitting on it. And I can't, you know, do any more than like I'm doing now. 5 watts less and get it to last in a period of time, but I was wise enough to go deep cycle when it comes to such stuff as doing like this. It's not just a standard battery, it's a deep cycle.
And that's an expensive battery. But what I'm saying is that you, with the right purchase, you could use a standard. I'd use a battery made for a truck, you know, not a small car battery and not a medium-sized car battery, but a battery made for a truck. And maybe that has to be deep cycle. I don't know. But anyway, with a conditioner, You can keep it on, the conditioner's plugged into house power, you know, and it feeds the battery. And it'll feed it and quit when it's charged. It's a conditioner, and that's how they're referred to. The one I have will do that, and I bought an extra thing with it, a solar panel. So if I have no electricity, but the sun is shining, I can put energy from that solar panel into the battery. So that's truly, you know, that's a useful thing to have. So I have not had to use it that way, but it's all set up to just plug in a solar panel, and it'll stay charged. There's different ways of approaching something like this, but, you know, that's a whole other way of thinking than the challenge that you had before, and that was figuring out what was so aggravating, that awful sound, and come to find out that it was your switching power supply. And there's also, I should mention this, there are also power supplies that have big old heavy transformers in them, you know. I've got one sitting here, and it's what I used to use all the time. It's, I think it would run, 600 watts. So it's a decent power supply. I'll never have any radio that puts out 600 watts. But, you know, if you have a legal limit, 1,500 watts, going out of the antenna, you're going to put a lot of power into that. So there's lots of cost involved whenever you go high power like that. I think the greater challenge is to do something with a little bit of, you know, difficulty to it. Try to get where you want to go or accomplish what you want to accomplish with the least amount of expense. That's how I've lived my life, you know. If it wasn't an automobile, I want it to work for me with the least amount of expense. It's always been a challenge, you know, and I've always enjoyed the challenge. It's just not ever going to go away. But I understand the draw and the excitement of running full legal limit, but I can't understand why it has to be that way to enjoy the hobby at all. I've got a radio, all band, all mode, that's QRP. It's, I think its top limit is 10 watts, but it's very small. It's very portable. Be good with that 10 watts to use something like CW, so, you know, you could get, you know, around the planet on 10 watts with CW. Just a different way to do that, to make contacts. But I think of the hobby in different ways, different than a lot of folks. And I enjoyed talking to you about the problem that you had there, and that's kind of my fun that I have in the hobby. If there's a problem, I like to look at it in different ways and see if I can solve it. There's always a problem in life. That's something my dad taught me I could count on. Never going to be smooth sailing for very long until another problem pops up. KK4JBQ.
Well, see, now, if I hadn't never unhooked the 8900R out of the system here to get the programming updated on it, and went and got that battery and brought it out here from out there and that out there where the charger and all is, and brought it here and hooked it up and turned it on with it on the C107-18. Like I said, I've never had the 718 15 ohm battery power, even for receive, until here the past 3 or 4 days, it's always been on that power supply over there. In the beginning, the power supply wasn't that way, but I bought it new back up at, up at Charlotte in 06, and the cap's apparently starting to go bad in it. The voltage's still good, but the hash, as they call them about it, is starting to get pretty bad, and my battery situation proved the issue. I was just hesitant on doing it, to bring the battery in here unless I absolutely had to, because I had to do all this. I practically had to tear half this room here apart just to try to set this stuff up, and it's still a mess because I'm not able to fix the power supply, and I got to get someone that can change those caps in it for me, and all else I got, like I said, is a 5-amp, and it, you're going to be pushing it to the limits up 25 watts, and this battery, I always had it, this deep cycle battery out there just for this. It's just that I have to have everything tore all apart when I go to hooking it up to the fix station and the 718 and such as that.
You just told me a few things that I think you can work on in between, you know, just sit down and draw yourself your station. And it is good to think about running on emergency power. I know you're aware of this, you know, being a part of Aries and such as that, you know the value of having emergency power. And that's not just one way of doing it, you know. You can have emergency power that's right there in place, and it would be hard to pull it all out and put it in the truck or the car, you know. And then there's emergency power that's portable, small, efficient, and it'll take it'll take a charge and hold it for a long time and run your radio for a long time, and maybe, you know, can recharge itself on a solar panel and, you know, stuff like that. There's value in all of that stuff. But you were pressed to, and it is, I understand what you're saying. It was just an accident that you found out where the problem was. But what you learned here is that one of the suspects, the first suspect, would be the power going into the radio from wherever that's coming. Now, of course, it's plugged into the wall, but it's taking whatever it gets from the wall and doing something with it. You'd have to have some other kind of power source to replace, and the battery was what you had, to replace it to dismiss the power supply, the switching power supply, to dismiss it from consideration. You know, if it hadn't been that you took the battery and set it all up, if you still had your noise, then you'd still be stuck with the problem. But now it went away. So now, the offending piece of equipment, that popped up right away, didn't it? So that just teaches you that there's a way to, a process of elimination. I think that's what this amounts to. You have to look at it and eliminate the suspects. Kind of detective work, you know. This is police work. You have to eliminate the suspects if they have an alibi. Then you go on to the next one. So the power supply to the radio, well, I guess first of all, the suspect would be the radio itself and everything that's going on there. But that's not the easiest thing to determine. The easiest thing would be the power coming into the radio. Radio is a lot, very complicated, but power is power. And it's either, you know, coming from land, from the utility company, or it's coming from a battery, generally speaking. Well, I'm glad you found it, Andy. I am truly glad you found it. Maybe it's a good time to, as I said, come up with some way to run it when the power's out. On, you know, always there and always ready. Use it every once in a while to keep it, you know, charged up and the like. But making yourself an emergency power supply in some way or other. And I've got it going here, and I feel very comfortable. If the power goes out and we don't have it for a week, I can still talk on the radio. KK4JBQ.
Just want to join in and come in about these things. Like, as you said, luckily I don't have much power for this repeater here, but the solar thing, I know it's possible. I just don't know yet still enough about that to make it workable. And I don't know. One thing I have learned over the years, this ain't the first deep cycle battery I've had for this purpose. But there's not that many chargers that's easily found that'll do deep cycle batteries. The one that's out there in the building was bought for another purpose, but it was capable of doing deep cycles. And I've always tried to, just so I can, at the very least, power up on the scanner at least, and try to make sure I can get a good enough amps here to do what I need to do in minimum when the power is out. So, but if my charger out there ever quits, some of it does deep cycle, it'd be hard, from what I've noticed over years, to even find another one that these deep cycle chargers ain't easy to find anymore. I don't know why that is, but it seems to be.
Yeah, this is a big old topic, you know. Well, a deep cycle battery, a standard battery for your automobile, the battery for your motorcycle, the battery for your riding lawnmower. I think in most cases, those would be either lead acid or absorbed glass mat, you know, the one that aren't full of liquid. But they still involve lead. And that's a very old technology. It's reliable, but it's very heavy. Now, these are not going to be popular with somebody who wants to operate on the move. The people who are doing parks on the air or summits on the air, something like that, they don't carry heavy batteries. They carry these lithium batteries, lithium iron phosphate, stuff like that. And they have a lot of power. Some of them, you know, expensive, but still, if you want to run 100 watts, they have that. If you're going to run 600 or 800 watts, you're going to have utility, you know, power company type of utility. That's not batteries. Batteries will last a brief period of time. Get you on the air in an emergency, and that's worthwhile. Those deep cycle batteries, what that actually means is that they can be discharged to a greater extent. Deep cycle batteries are used in, I mean, the kind of things they service are lawnmowers, motorcycles, and golf carts, things like that, that, you know, may charge once every couple of days and used all the time through the day. Yeah, they're used in marine operations, too. You don't want to be discharging the battery and the thing go flat. And a battery, a 12-volt battery, is flat at about 10 volts. It still has 10 volts in it, but it won't start the engine. And if you're out in a boat, you never want to be in that situation. So that's the deep cycle is deep discharge. That on that part of the cycle, it will discharge quite deep before, and it'll still recharge itself. You discharge a battery much below 10.5 volts, and you practically ruin the thing. That is a 12-volt battery. And that's something to wrap your head around. It's fully charged at about, 13, 14 volts, fully charged. And it's fully discharged, let's say at 10 volts. That's just a 4.5 volt spread. But that's what that is all about, That's what that's all about. And the discharge, the cycle, if you drew it, if you mapped it out on a chart, the lead acid battery, it starts out, let's say it's 13 volts, 13.5 volts, and it goes a little while, and it starts dropping really fast, really fast. And so a lithium battery, on the other hand, has a very good power curve. It starts at whatever its fully charged voltage output is, and it holds it really well. It dips a little bit near the end. The trouble is with that, it drops. Bam. And it gets to about, 9 volts or something like that. It just goes away. You don't want to discharge any battery until it's dead. You have to take care of them, or they won't take care of you. That's a good thing to look into. If you never heard this before, look into the discharge. How the graph. If you drew a graph, what the discharge cycle looks like, and how long it holds a good voltage for you. Lead acid does not hold it very well. Absorbed glass mat, that's those batteries that hold. You don't refill them with water. Well, anyways, that's just a care and keeping thing. It used to be, and you're familiar with this, I'm sure, they had little caps on them. And you pop the cap and you check the level of the water in there. The battery gets warm and water will evaporate. But then they came up with batteries that are sealed. And you never have to add water to them. They don't have these little caps at all. And so there's constantly improving. I find it very interesting to read what I can. There's very good videos on YouTube about batteries of different kinds. Really interesting. I could recommend that. it'll keep you, you know, between two posts. It won't take you off the reservation as quickly as some others. Listen to somebody who sounds like they know what they're talking about, you know. KK4JBQ.
Well, see, this is one of, I guess, those cheaper deep cycles, because it's got the places in it for the, where you have to add water to it. I know there's some that you don't, but this one here, you've got to add water to check it every so often and do it. It does. You can, like with most things, you can get, you know, better deep cycles and cheaper deep cycles and so on like that. You can. The only thing that scares me about lithium ion, now, you may have heard me and Robert Webster talk a lot about them in the past. The doggone things will explode easy, and that T90A I got has a deep cycle battery in it, and you was talking about it dropping off quick. I can be in the middle of a conversation with someone right here on that frequency, and when it's ready to go, it just goes. Right, cut me off in the middle of a set syllable. So when it comes to the lithium ions, I'm still uneasy about them.
Well, one of the things about living on this planet in the modern day is that everything is complicated. And batteries is one of those things. If my station was one that that had to be counted on, you know, I was part of Races or Aries or, you know, if it mattered that much, then I would have a meter on that battery, and it would be right in front of my face as I operate. And I'd be watching the level on the battery. And I'd have a spare that's fully charged, ready to go, or two or three, whatever it would take to move the one that's about to die out of service and move another one in. You know, if you're counting on power and you're not getting it from the utility, it's not coming out of the wall, it's then going to come from other places. And it's going to be expensive. You can't just run one of these batteries. While it's charging, another one has to serve you. And I don't know, that's the kind of thing you learn on a good field day, you know, when people are serious about it. They're not there just to have fun. They're there to talk about what it's like to operate a station when the situation is stressful, you know. And, you know, you can be out there and there's a lot of stress built in to field day or any other type of operation where you challenge the equipment and how much the people know as well how to use the equipment. So one of the things is round-the-clock operation. Field day is for 24 hours. And to keep a radio going that long without a generator or several batteries to cycle through, it's difficult. But that's what this hobby is about. Well, that's part of what this hobby should be, is to give people opportunity to see where the problems and the issues are. So let's say you operate for 24 hours in some sort of emergency. You can't do that with one person. People need a break. You know, if that one person is going through a lot of information, it's really important that they be awake and alert. You're going to have people scheduled to do that. You know, scheduled for 2 hours or for 3 hours or, you know, whatever works. And your equipment is going to have to be usable for 24 hours straight. Eagle Bay is a serious thing, an opportunity to be serious, but it's also an opportunity for human beings to have fun. And I do declare that having fun takes most of the time. It takes the first seat. Let's have fun. Let's eat well. Let's just all have a good time. Now, if you don't do it that way, you won't get people to show up. They've got to be shown a good time. I don't know. I can't make people different. I get excited, and I enjoy myself when I'm learning something all the time. This is just how I'm made. I've been this way always. I have the best time when I'm sitting beside someone who knows a lot more than me, because I'm soaking it up all the time. My mother was that way, and to some extent my dad was that way. So I guess I just lived in a household where it just felt good to learn things all the time. You've been to field days. Tell me what you think field days are for.
For LZIH, as you say, it should be a combination of both. I know there's supposed to be a state exercise, area state exercise, on the 16th of this month in March. That's a Saturday. Now, different counties are going to be probably doing different things, but the general overall thing, there's supposed to be some kind of, supposedly an earthquake in the lower part of the state, and everybody, you know, has to, you know, I don't know if you've read enough to understand Aries that well or not, but how everybody works together, what they can do in their own county involving such as that. And over here, up here in Pickens County, we're going to be doing Simplex work from different areas to the EOC. But as far as you're talking about field day goes, it should be a combination of both. And people like you, Larry, that can't do any HF operating for sure, you know, at least I can receive something. I can, but where you can't do any of that at all, you ought to attend some field days when you can.
I agree with you, Andy. I do agree with you. Remind me again what that date was later this month.
Well, see, it's the 16th of March, Saturday. I don't know whenever the 16th is. I know what we talked about. You heard me probably, or could have Tuesday evening on the net when I checked in mobile. I'd been out there at EOC then, and we was talking about what we was going to do over here. But that'll be the 16th of March, a Saturday.
I keep a little calendar. It might be silly, but I also keep a little log. I find it useful. Most of what I do is check into the 610 repeater. I am in a hole. I've got a decent antenna, but I'm very low. I'm below the average terrain. And, you know, you just can't transmit through dirt. You can't do it. And how much dirt's between you and where you're going, that makes a lot of difference. But anyhow, so I do what I can. And I'm happy with it. I would not want to be without some, you know, have my toe in the water. If that's all I can get, I'll have my toe in the water. So I keep a little log of a couple of nets, maybe three. And who called the net, when it started and when it's ended, and how many that were the check-ins. I don't take down everybody's call sign, but I want to know who, you know, the net control operator was, and kind of and sometimes I make a note of how quick it was over. You know, if it's over in 10 minutes, there's a problem, you know. If there was only 5 people checking in, there's a problem. But I think the reason that this became a thing for me to do was the Blue Ridge, the Brars net is a different controller every night in ideal conditions. I know there are times when people have to repeat during the week, but in ideal conditions, when there's plenty of operators and everything's running smooth, it's on every night. And that's useful because you can track from night to night and who gets the most check-ins and why is that so. I find these little facts interesting, you know. Certainly if the net ends before 9:30, usually there's not a lot of check-ins for whatever reason, compared to others nights when it goes past 10 o'clock, you say, you know, what we're talking about. So anyway, it's just, I don't know, this information I'm not going to do anything with, but I still like to track it, to be able to look back and see what happened when. For instance, tonight, Matt called Ned, and he's been absent.